Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
So as you gently come forth from that time of meditation, our theme today is loaves and fishes. And we're talking about the abundant, amazing miracle that happened in the feeding of the 5,000. And we're all familiar with it, I think, but I'm going to read it from Matthew, and we'll take it apart and see what it has to speak to us today. And, you know, it's the only parable apart from the Jesus' walking on the water that is in all four Gospels. The only two that are in there in all four Gospels. So that tells you something right there, doesn't it? This must be important, right, if it's in all four of them. So we've got to pay attention. What's the meaning of this parable for us? And it's a parable that we may not be Bible scholars, but all of us have heard this one, haven't we? The feeding of the 5,000. And so often we take it to be kind of a miracle that proves how great Jesus was, yeah? Well, that's fine, and I like that. I like this to prove how cool Jesus was, but I also need it to be relevant to me in my life. And I believe that the symbology, what's really being spoken here in this parable, is actually a template for action in our own lives, right? And we'll unpack that and see how that works. Because it takes it from this, like, unbelievable thing into something that, oh, yeah, I see. I can apply those same miraculous, seemingly miraculous principles in my own life. We want to do that, don't we? Unity was founded on the idea of it being practical spirituality, right? Something, it's not just a Sunday thing, it's a way of living. So let's read it. And by the way, this all happened just after John the Baptist was beheaded, right? So obviously, Jesus is not feeling too happy. No, neither is anybody else, because his mentor, his best friend, had just been killed by the powers that be. And so there's that sense of sadness. And I would suggest, in other words, it's life as it is, you know, when we're full of all the things that are going on. People being beheaded. And this doesn't happen 2,000 years ago, does it? People are being beheaded today all over the place, not just in the Middle East, but now we're learning in Oklahoma too. You know, it's crazy. There's craziness all around. So right in the middle of craziness is this message, right? So this is what it says. It says, Jesus withdrew privately by boat to a remote place. He wanted some time apart. I don't blame him. But large numbers of people heard of it and came after him on foot from the towns. You can never get away. If you notice this in your own life, you know, I need some peace. But they keep bothering me. They keep after me no matter what's going on. Life goes on. I got to get to work. You know, it's hard to find that peaceful place, isn't it? They came after him on foot from the towns. They were eager to hear the good news. When he came ashore and saw a large crowd, his heart went out to them with compassion, and he healed those who were sick. Even in the midst of his trauma, he understood that it's not just mine, we're all suffering, right? And so he had that compassionate heart. And I think that's the essence of Jesus in the beginning, middle, and end. Like we talked about last week, generosity, that magnanimity, that willingness to give love, yeah? We'll come back to that because that's an essential element to manifesting this abundant principle that he's teaching here. As evening drew on, the disciples came up to him and said, "This is a remote place, and the day is gone. Send the people off to the villages to buy themselves food." Jesus answered, "There's no need for them to go. Give them something to eat yourselves." "All we have here," they said, "is 5 loaves and 2 fish. They think he's nuts by this time. "Bring them to me," he replied. So he told the people to sit down on the grass. Then taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And 12 baskets were filled with what was left over. Some 5,000 men shared in this meal, not counting women and children. Yeah, they were added later. So if there were 5,000 men, there were probably equal amount of women, right? And all the kids. So there were at least 12,000, 15,000 people. So it wasn't the feeding of the 5,000, it was the feeding of the 50. present. It's a huge amount. And you could say, well, this is impossible, and that's the point of the story. It seems impossible from a human perspective, doesn't it? It's like, what's going on here? So how can we make it relevant to today? Well, key elements, there's 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, what might a loaf of bread represent symbolically? What's bread? Sustenance. We say today, I'm earning my bread, don't we? It means my provision is symbolized by bread. When I was a kid, it was called the staff of life, yeah? It was the essence of our being. It represents spiritual substance. It represents the power and energy of the universe. That's what bread is. Guess where Jesus was born? What was the town? Bethlehem. Wasn't a trick question. It was an easy one. I wasn't trying to trip you up. You know, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, Bethlehem. Ding, 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 ding. Bethlehem means house of bread. Isn't that interesting? House of bread. So he was born in this spiritual substance. They say the universe now is filled with energy, right? There's regular energy, there's dark energy, there's dark matter, regular matter, but it's filled with this energy of God, if you like. They used to call it the ethers back in the 19th century, and now modern atomic and quantum physicists are starting to call it ethers again. Interesting. What goes around comes around. But it's the idea that everything is filled with God. Substance, it may be invisible, but it's palpable. It's like love. You can't touch it, but you know it's there, yes? So this is the bread we're talking about. The loaves are a representation of that infinite, abundant good. So what about the fish? What are they? Little fishies going around. Notice that in, what? Yeah, protein. Yeah, there we go. You got to have your carbohydrates, and you got to have your protein. Where's the veggies? Well, I don't know. Freedom. Yeah, you know, that's getting close. Traditionally, it's been interpreted as ideas, yes? And you do have a free-flowing system of ideas going on at all times in our heads, right? And all through the Gospels, Jesus is always talking about fish, you know, inviting the disciples to fish over there and pull in all these fish, all these ideas of in consciousness, because these ideas float in the oceanic substance of God again, right? So they're ideas projected into substance. And Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, came up with this amazing formula, which really ties into the template we're going to be discussing in a second. He said this. He said, ideas projected into substance with faith produce a realization that you can then act upon. It's a formula for action. Ideas, we all have ideas, but we must project them into the substance of God possibility, knowing that they will germinate in there, and a realization will come forth upon which we can act, yeah? Now, that sounds simple, but many things get in the way sometimes to the realization. What goes wrong? We may have a wonderful idea, but what happens to it? Monkey mind, we don't trust that it's going to happen, right? Doubt. We forget to project our ideas into the substance of God. We forget to bring God in. We claim our good, but we don't spend much time focusing on the wonderful abundance of God. And so we don't project our ideas into God's substance. We just have them there in general on the stony ground of our doubts, and we wonder why they don't come forth as a realization, right? We live in an instant gratification society, right? We plant our seeds, and then we dig them up to see if they sprouted. Have you ever done that? You know, you can't leave them. So what's important is just to leave them in the ground so they can germinate. Put them in God's substance and let God do his thing. Let Mother Nature do her thing. And so often we want instant results, and so we're always picking at the dirt trying to find whether the seed has sprouted. Listen, what happens if you keep digging up your seeds? They die eventually, don't they? You know? These people are stupid. They keep digging me up. Got to let God be part of the process here to allow it to come forth. And have a willingness to trust that, yeah? hard to do that. But when you think the universe sustains you on any given day with everything you could possibly need, with life, with breath, with everything, how can we have such a hard time trusting that God won't do everything else for us, right? It's insanity. That's what they say. We have become insane because we think we're more capable of taking care of things than God is. What? Oh, Lord, has it come to this? So, let's look at the template. And it's seven things. And there will be a pop quiz at the end. In order to accomplish anything, you have to have the right motivation. What was Jesus' motivation? He wasn't in a pity party because his mentor and best friend had just died. He was sad, but he understood that everybody's sad, that we're all in this together, yes? And his motivation was kindness and compassion. So that's the first thing. In order to receive the blessing in your life, there has to be that willingness that it's not just my blessing, it's yours as well. Right? If I'm lifted up, if I'm blessed, then I want you to be blessed too. And that's where, if we're holding any kind of resentment or resistance, it's going to shut down the flow, yeah? Because what am I doing? I am hampering the flow of free flow of ideas in my own consciousness by those resentments. So Jesus' teaching is, start with compassion, let it expand with compassion, let it be completed with compassion. That's the first thing. What's my motivation for doing this work? Whatever I'm doing, what is my motivation here? My motivation with large-hearted, compassionate, expansive living, with service, generosity. There we go. So, once we've got that straight, let's say we got that straight now. We are all here to be compassionate people, are we? Amen. Okay, good. So now we can work the process. So what does he ask people to do first? Sit down. He asked the people to sit down on the grass. Now what does that mean for you? We're having a picnic here. Stay grounded. Don't go anywhere. Just come. Don't have a tizzy. Don't go hopping around. Oh my God, how are we going to work this one out? Oh no. Just calm down. That's the first thing you need to do, isn't it? Calm down. Chill. Take a load off. It's all right. In a comfortable place, on the green grass, not on the rubble, on the green grass. And that means take a load off, relax, it's okay. You're in a safe space, right? Anybody catastrophize immediately? Anybody who gets into awfulizing? Not just me, is it? I'll go to worst-case scenario thinking at the drop of a hat. How about you? Oh, my God, it's all over. Oh, no. The sky's falling, etc., etc. So easy to do that. And the antidote for that is chill out. Just calm down, you know. Right now, you're okay. Sit down. So that's the first thing. And by the way, in Mark, it's interesting, there's a variant. It says in Mark that he invited people to sit down in hundreds and fifties. Because this is 15,000 of them. You're trying to feed everybody. You can get overwhelmed. So he broke them down into groups of 50 and 100. And this is good for us too, isn't it? If I've got an overwhelming task or number of tasks to take care of, and I try and see them all at once, I'm going to go crazy. But if I take them one step at a time in groups that I can handle, it becomes doable. Ever done this? Easier to do. So that's the first thing. Chill out. Number two, he took the food and he didn't say, oh my God, we're never going to have enough. Instead, he looked to heaven. So the very next thing he did after relaxing, he looked to heaven. What do you do then? Before blessing, he brought God into the process, right? He remembered God. How often do you do this when you got a difficulty? Are you bringing God in real quick, or you're bringing in your worries and concerns? See, there's the template. Template is don't bring in your concerns, bring in God. He looked towards God, and then he blessed. He blessed what he had. Interesting. Sometimes we ignore that because we're so intent upon what we need and what we don't have, I can't bless it, you know, because I want so much more. Now, when I get that, then I'll bless that when you bring me everything I need. But it's the wrong way around. He blessed what he already had because it was a symbol of infinite ideas and substance, yes? So that's three. And then the fourth is the most remarkable one, I think. What did he do with the bread? He broke it. What's that about? Broke it open. He broke it. You can't share something unless you break it open, can you? Any other symbology there for breaking it open? He broke it into manageable parts, yes. He was willing to share it and break it and distribute it, right? He wasn't keeping it all to himself. Because if you just put your loaf on a shelf and think it's great, it's no use at all. There's an old story about a miser who had a large chunk of gold, pure gold. He loved it. He worshipped it. It made him feel good. They didn't have banks back in those days, so he hid it in a wall, and every day would go to that wall, pull it back, and look at the gold. Right? Pull the brick back, look at the gold. Well, he did this every day, and somebody saw him do it, and guess what they did? They ripped it off. They took the gold from him, and he was moaning and wailing all over the place, going to his friends and saying, why did this happen to me, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Eventually, one of his friends said, listen, just get a shiny bit of stone and put it there and worship that. And he says, you crazy? That stone is not worth anything compared to the gold. And the guy said, well, listen, the gold wasn't worth anything to you either. You're just putting it in a wall, you know, forgetting the... And so why not just have a shiny piece of... Until we break it open and distribute it, it's useless, right? So you have to... I've been fairly well off in my life. I've been not much well off, did not much money, and I grew up not from a wealthy background, but I've always trusted in the circulation of good, you know? And it's because it's not about the money, it's about the flow, right? And if you're dependent upon the money, then there's never enough. But money is not the truth of the substance. The substance is the invisible provision. When you trust that, there will always be enough. If you're worshiping a nugget of gold somewhere in your life experience, you're probably poverty-stricken, right? Because that's not where the true abundance is. So Jesus is willing to break it and give it. Remember the story of Myrtle Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, the early days of the Unity movement, and they were praying because they were on had difficult times, and one of the people in the group says, let's pray that the money holds out. And Myrtle Fillmore says, no, let's pray that our faith holds out. Shift from money to faith, from lack to an awareness that we can hold the truth. And as a result, you know, the Unity movement went through ups and downs, but it grew to this magnificent thing that it is today. We reference Daily Word. It's a wonderful magazine. It's been going for 90 years now. Millions of people read it every day. And it's published by Silent Unity, which is a prayer ministry that's been going for 120 years. 3 or 4 million people call in or write in for prayer needs every year to Silent Unity. The work was done because Myrtle Fillmore and Charles Fillmore had faith. They had ideas that they projected into infinite substance, and it came forth, right, as a blessing to us all. We're only on four. Five. Took the bits, didn't give it to the people, gave it to the disciples first. Now, what are disciples? Well, disciples are the highest thoughts you can have about your own spiritual nature, right? So when you let the good flow, you give it to your highest thoughts first so they can take it down to the lesser thoughts. If you don't give it to the higher thoughts, you're sabotaging the flow, right? Always allow your higher thoughts to go out there, the trusting, the expansiveness, right? Give it to those. Give the substance to those so that work can be carried forth effectively. So often doubts come in, and we begin to give away our substance and our power to those lower doubting thoughts. So first the highest you can think of, and then those thoughts will take it down into the rest of our being. That's number six, down to the people. Seven, because it's not over yet, is it? They received, what happened? Leftovers. There were, in abundance, there were 12 baskets of leftovers, right? It comes back to us in bushels. And I would suggest this is true. When you give it away, when you have a large-hearted attitude to something, there's more coming back to you than you could have ever imagined. And this is a little joke, I think, on the disciples, because there were 12 baskets, one for each disciple. So it was like saying, see, you got to trust. You got to trust the process of provision. So there's more coming back than you had in the beginning, right? Amazing. Pop quiz. What have we learned? In your life this week, what are you going to do? We've all agreed it starts with compassion. I'm going to have a compassionate heart to myself, yeah? I'm not going to beat up on myself. I'm going to be true to myself. I'm going to beat up on myself. And I'm going to have a trusting, expansive attitude at work, in my family life, on the street, wherever. Yeah, that's the first thing. That's the preamble to the template. So I've got that. Now what? I get grounded. I take time to sit down and chill out, right, before I go into a tizzy about the next thing. Because it's easy to get enlightened on the mountaintop, isn't it? It's good to feel good on Sunday morning, and then we got to go back to our real life. You know, that sucks. So chill out, whatever's ours to do. Second, look to God. Remember God in the process. Take what you have, but look to God. Then bless what you have. Bless what's right in front of you. Then get ready to distribute, right? Break it open. Use it. Use your talents. Use your energy. I'm doing all the work here. Wait a minute, I just realized. It's supposed to be a pop quiz. I'm answering them all. All right, the last three you've got to get. All right, give it to your highest first, because that will carry you through. If you give it to your lowest, it may bury it before it gets to the fruition. That's five. Then take it down into the world. Take it down into the ordinary parts of your being. That's six. And then claim. Yeah, watch out. Because it can come to you in miraculous ways. It can come to you in somebody's smile. It can come to you in the beautiful sunset. Right? It doesn't have to always come back to you in all the money that I thought I deserved. It can come back in a multiplicity of ways if we're open to it. But if we're not paying attention to it, we will not see the good that it comes back to us. Right? We'll miss the important seventh step of that, which fulfills the promise. And it's a cyclic thing, isn't it? We start again. We sit down again. We're relaxed and we allow. We look to God and so on all through the rest of our lives. You know, at 9:30, we joked about going to Torchy's. Because the first service was sponsored by Torchy's, it seems. But Torchy's has these beautiful fish tacos, you know, where you can combine your loaves and your fishes together. There are samples back in the fellowship hall. You can't see them. They're invisible substance. But they are beautiful. Amen.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you. Divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.